Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show, coming to you this stormy night here in El Paso, Texas. It's been raining all afternoon. Winds high. It's a good background atmosphere for the topic I'm going to talk about tonight. You know, growing up, we all, I'm sure, had the belief that in the darkness of our room, there was a creature lurking. If you get out of bed, was something going to reach out and grab your ankle? Did you sleep with your closet door shut because you knew there was something lurking in the closet? A rational mind tells us there's nothing there. But in the corner of your mind, there's a what if. It might be the monster under the bed or a shadow in the corner of your room. Yes, these were childhood terrors, no question about it. Almost every child I've ever known believes that somewhere there's something lurking. I grew up in a house. The original part of it was built in 1815. Now, that was a house that there was always the suspicion that there was something lurking in the house. Overactive imagination? Maybe. That could be why I write books and do this show. But if that's all there were, why are people still seeing these creatures? I've got a neighbor who 200-300 years ago, there used to be a small mission where their house now sits. Periodically, they see a cowled monk walk across their family room, leaves one wall, walks across the room, goes into the other wall. I don't know about you, but I would find that disturbing. Is there a thin veil between this world and another world? I mean, there's a belief among some that at Halloween, that veil is very, very thin and things can come through. What if that's true? Why are more and more people experiencing things like this? What do these creatures want? I read a lot of forums. And people send me material all the time. And whenever I do an event, somebody always has a story about something paranormal. One lady said her event began with whispers, soft laughter, growling noises that she heard in the dark of her room. She could never figure out where it was coming from. When she would try to investigate, it would stop. And she said she found out the daughter of the previous owner of her house used to dabble in the occult. Now, the word occult just means hidden. What she meant was that daughter dealt with the paranormal, the supernatural. She had a priest come in. Did no good. Things only got worse. She'd hear voices coming from her TV. Well, they'd come out of nowhere. And she knows she's not crazy. Her friends who've come to visit her have heard it as well. But most are too afraid to visit her now. Another man told me that he started to hear strange things in his home. He hears whispers in his ear. Feels hot breath on his side of his face in the night. Hears whistling outside the bedroom door. Whenever he goes down the hallway to investigate, the whistling stops. If you want to be involved in the discussion, if you've got a story to tell, 267-521-0159. We're going to be talking about the stories of the paranormal. Now, I've also heard a lot of stories about what I've seen referred to as the black-eyed kids. A lot of this material seems to come from England for some reason. And the Daily Star reported October 2014 on the return of the ghost of the black-eyed child, which they say is haunting locations in the Staffordshire area. Now, the original sighting of these children was first reported in England in the 1980s. New sighting occurred in a marshy forested area called Cannock Chase, which is a well-known hotspot for what you might refer to as anomalous sightings of various types. One lady reported she and her daughter were walking in the forest when they heard a young child scream. Well, when you hear a child scream, of course, your first inclination is to go help. So they ran toward where they thought they heard the sound come, and they couldn't find the child. And then they saw a young girl standing behind them with her hands over her eyes. And as they looked at her, she slowly lowered her arms, and they could see her eyes were completely black. No iris, no white, just black. Well, the two were certainly taken back, and as they stood there just staring in total amazement, the child vanished, just gone. They reported it, of course, and it wound up in the paper. And after the story came out, a second witness came forward. Said he felt he had to let folks know about his own experiences. On more than one occasion, he has seen a black-eyed child. He often goes in the woods walking his dog. Well, one evening, he was there as usual when he suddenly found himself face-to-face with what he described as a creature with jet black eyes. He heard a rustle in the brushes and thought it was an animal. He went on walking, and the rustling seemed to be following him. Walking down a path when a noise seemed to come from directly behind him, so he turned around, and there was a little girl with her hands covering her eyes. Well, the dog had a fit, and he asked the little girl if she was okay. Now, she didn't reply. And since she didn't seem to be in distress, he turned to leave, and suddenly she was standing in front of him. The dog went ape once again. She lowered her hands, and her eyes were solid black. Well, he told his family, and of course they laughed at him. Nobody believes if it doesn't happen to them. Then he saw the report in the newspaper and realized he wasn't the only one to have seen such a creature. There was another witness who said his aunt told him of an experience she had back in the 80s. She was just 18. She and a friend had often meet in the woods in the evenings, you know, build a little campfire, have fun, maybe smoke a little pot. One evening, she went to meet him and she heard a child screaming for help. Well, she rushed to where she thought the sound was coming from. And as she approached it, she stumbled and fell. And she got up. She spotted this little girl running away. Well, she gave chase and caught up with the child, who stopped and turned around and looked at her. Her eyes are completely black. And then she turned and ran into the trees and disappeared. Well, the aunt, thinking something was surely wrong, called the police because, number one, it was late, so why was the little girl out that late by herself? Well, the police arrived quickly, unlike the police here. I had an accident. Somebody hit me in a parking lot and then took off. Took the police an hour and a half to show up. And I was not that far from the regional command center. But it turns out, in this city in which I live, if you have an accident and nobody's hurt, if they'd come at all, you're lucky. They're much too busy, you know. Well, the police arrived and they searched and they couldn't find a little girl. Then the Daily Star newspaper had another story from an entirely different geographical location. Woman's name was Sharon Piper, and she was in her late 50s, and she worked as a barmaid. She said there were two black-eyed ghosts, as she called them, that came into the pub she worked at in Lancashire. It's called the Cattle Market Pub. And usually she spends her shifts serving regulars, and when these two came in, she said she got an immediate bad vibe from them. Said she hadn't had anything to drink, was completely sober, which is more than she could say for a lot of the people in the pub at the time. Said it was a man and a woman with the palest skin, black hair, and completely black eyes. And the way they spoke, she said, was strange. Well, she served them, and they took their drinks away from the bar through the busy pub, and then they vanished. Now, some folks believe her, and others thought she'd had a drink or two herself. Well, not long after that, the pub closed down, having been struggling to make a profit in the poor economic climate at the time. And then it mysteriously burnt down. A lot of folks believe it was local vandals that set the fire. But Sharon herself thinks it has something to do with those two black-eyed ghosts, as she called them. Now, once again, if you want to be involved in a discussion, I suggest you pick up the phone and call 267-521-0159. And that will get you on the air. And you can talk about your adventures. Well, in June of 2014, there was another account of what happened to a 26-year-old man named David. He works at a college in Michigan. He said, "I don't believe in the paranormal, but I do love to camp and hike. I was at Sleeping Bear Dunes just out of season in late August. The ranger station, I used the bathroom. Coming out of the stall, there were two kids standing there. Said I washed my hands and glanced in the mirror and saw they were looking at him. But their eyes were completely jet black. No whites at all." Yeah, he froze. He said the two looked about 12 and he wanted no part of them. One of the boys said, "Can you help us?" And despite his fear, he wanted to help them, but finally, he said, "No one left." He said he remembered thinking he was certain he was going to die as he turned his back to go, that they were going to rip him to shreds. I mean, as big as he was over 6 feet tall, he said. But these two children terrified him. Well, he drove to the campsite parking lot and walked to his camping spot, which was a 40-minute walk. It's completely empty of campers. Built a fire and eventually fell asleep. Well, at dawn the next day, he felt foolish for being so scared the night before. He's normally a calm guy, he said, and he couldn't explain his feeling of dread he experienced when he saw those two kids. Well, he spent the day hiking and driving into town for dinner, and when he came back, he headed back to the camp. There was a storm coming up, and it was dark. Well, as he walked, his feeling of unease grew. He stopped every few minutes to look around with his headlamp. You know, one of those things, they're on a strap, and you put them around your head so you don't have, your hands aren't tied up with a flashlight. Then he walked on, and he just knew somebody was watching. And he finally turned around, and there were those two kids again, both just standing and looking at him. It was easy, in the light of his headlamp, to tell that they had jet black eyes. One of the kids said, "Help us." And that child moved up in his face, and the other boy was circling him. And then the one that spoke to him said, "We're lost. Take us with you." And then the child reached for his hand. Well, he had a fight or flight moment, and he turned and ran. Back at the tent, he eventually managed to fall asleep. Well, at first he thought it was a nightmare, but he heard that voice again, "Help us." And then another voice said, "Please let us in your tent." He said, "No." Well, he stayed awake all night, but the two didn't enter the tent. Instead, they stood right outside it. So it's been almost 2 months since that happened. He still remembers it like it was yesterday. He hadn't gone camping since. Another gentleman came forward with his encounter. He said he was, at the time, based out of Omaha, just having a routine day. He parked and left his car to take a parcel to the town post office when a young man intercepted his path. He said he didn't see him coming. It's like he just showed up out of nowhere. Late teens, long black hair, long black leather coat, came right up to him, asked for a dollar. Then he began to ask persistent questions. Started asking personal questions, like, was he married? Well, he tried to ignore him, but he wouldn't let him pass. And as he tried to walk past him, his eyes just started to turn black. Completely black. And his voice became deeper, and he kept asking questions about his family. If that were not enough, what happened next completely bewildered the man. He said that late teen that walked up to him started to age right in front of him. He became an older looking man. His long hair became short. He looked around and there was a lady staring at him. And as he looked back, he began walking toward the wall of a building and then vanished. Well, the witness asked the lady if she saw it, and she said she did, and she was shocked, and they both just stood there looking at the wall, trying to figure out what had happened. There was no door there, but he knew what he saw. You know, there have been many accounts of these black-eyed children that have been reported worldwide, particularly in America, and there's always been inherent terror associated with these accounts. They often come knocking at the door, very insistent you let them in. And in all the accounts of these encounters, everybody who's found them on their doorstep has described the absolute malevolence these children exude and the absolute belief these things are in some way demonic and mean to cause harm. They'll show up at your door, and when you answer it, they'll say, "Let us in, let us in. It'll only take a minute." And then they raise their head and look into your eyes. They won't leave. Their clothing is often old-fashioned and ill-fitting. They look so out of place, and most folks describe their eyes as too frightening to hold their gaze. It's hard to find reports from anyone who has let them into their home, either because they know that to do so would seal their fate, or maybe because they did open the door and can't report it anymore. Apparently, these things can't act unless you let them in, and when somebody does, well, we don't have reports of that. There's a tale from Scotland called the Gurning Man. The very name evokes some odd thoughts. This figure seen in the city of Glasgow, in particular, seems to be centered on the district of Crosshill. For 3 years, females reported sightings of this entity at night. They said it looked demented and insane, and when it made an appearance, it was allegedly of human shape and rather solid looking. Now, many of the women who did encounter it reportedly so afraid and traumatized, they actually moved away from the area so they wouldn't encounter it anymore. There's a site called British Paranormal that had an account from a woman in her 50s who lived with her husband and children. And she was woken up out of a sound sleep one night by a strange snorting sound. She opened her eyes and saw something at the end of the bed. It looked like a man, but from the light coming through the curtain, she watched as he grinned at her in the most maniacal fashion, bizarrely rubbing his hands up and down his chest. Letting out a blood-curdling scream, her husband woke up and flipped on the lights. Confused and perplexed, he turned to his wife and asked her what the hell was going on. The strange man in the room had vanished. There's no one there. Now, maybe her experience was a nightmare, but unbeknownst to her, only a few nights before this, two girls in their teens reported their own horrific encounter, and it was very, very similar. That incident happened very close to the lady's house. They'd been walking home from a party one night. It was a near full moon, so though it was dark, they could see quite well as they walked. Suddenly, this man appeared in front of them, and his appearance was definitely strange. In their estimation, he looked to be maybe in his 50s, bald and almost skeletal due to his extremely thin frame, dressed in black. What they found disconcerting was that his movements were jittery, as though he was incredibly agitated. As they got nearer, they began to feel the hairs on the back of their neck stand up, and they fell into terrified silence as they looked at him. Walking as quickly as possible past him, they turned to look at him and were stunned to see the honest expression on his face, which they described as being a combination of a grimace and an unnaturally wide grin, and he was making the most awful snorting sounds. Well, they took off running as fast as they could and looked back over his shoulder in fear that he would chase them, only to find he'd completely vanished. No possible way, they said, he could have disappeared that quickly. There was nowhere for him to have hidden, and the road behind him was wide and empty. Well, there was another report. An elderly woman saw him standing in the middle of a road looking agitated and jittery, and in front of her eyes, he just vanished. Police were called to one home, and the occupants believed it was a burglar, but the figure disappeared in front of the police. There were over 15 separate sightings from witnesses. None of them knew the others or knew about the reports, and then the reports just stopped. Did 15 or more people have the same figment of the imagination? Could this be the same kind of entity described by many as who've seen the so-called grinning man? Now, there was a psychical researcher in the 1870s named Sedgwick, and it was written up in Ronald Pearson's Table Rappers. Two sisters and a maid were returning from evening service in a village church. Moonlight lit their way through, though fog did hang in the air. And certainly they heard a man whistling behind them as they heard his footsteps. And as he got close, it seemed that he passed directly through one of the women. Suddenly there were more people around them, a mass of people. They just seemed to rise from the ground, and they were short and dwarf-like. But they saw two men who appeared to grin, looking hideous and so close to them, and yet they didn't really want to walk past them. One man was twice as tall as the others, and he kept pace with the women, walking with them with long strides, towering over them till they arrived home. Then in the late 1800s, there's a lady named Goodhall claimed to have seen a terrifying thing when traveling with her daughter in a pony carriage in a North London suburb. He saw a figure dressed from head to toe in black advancing toward him, appearing to glide rather than walk. The figure passed to the left of the carriage on the grassy verge, I think it's called, only a couple of yards from him, and it turned and looked at him, and it had a large mouth, and it was grinning at him. And sometimes an entity like that, if it grins at you, that's the most horrifying thing of all. Its garments seemed to trail behind it, and it watched them as they passed, and then it vanished. It was daylight at the time. It had no place to go and no time to get there, but it just wasn't there anymore. English newspaper editor turned to the 19th century, William Stead, was a keen collector of paranormal stories. Sadly, he was aboard the Titanic when it sank. In 1897, he published a book called Real Ghost Stories, and he included an account from a man named Foster. Now, Foster said he'd been riding on his horse when the horse suddenly started to exhibit signs of extreme distress. Its nostrils flared, it started to sweat and shake, looked in the direction that the horse was looking. To his horror, he saw the body of a tall man, limp and lifeless, bent over the hedge. With outstretched arms, the figure seemed to be touching the ground in front of him with his hands, his legs on the other side of the hedge. He was sure the man was dead, but to his shock, the man began to move. Slowly, mechanically, his long arms started to uplift. The body swayed and finally straightened, and there was the man's face. The eyes were glassy, and it was very clear that the man's throat had been cut. He couldn't have been alive, but he was moving. Well, in the Cumbrian newspaper, The Times and Star, in 2011, there's a story about a strange figure. A 47-year-old local named Sean Robinson inherited a painting a few years back. The painting was entitled The Anguished Man, and it's a particularly disturbing painting. It's a graphic depiction of a man's face with empty eye sockets, an expression of horror on his stretched open mouth. His grandmother, who left it to him, had kept it in her attic. What she told her grandson about it was decidedly strange. She said the portrait is evil and disclosed she believed the painter had used his own blood to create it, and then he committed suicide. Said, I don't know who the artist is or who the anguished man is, but I was told that it could be a self-portrait by the artist and that he had killed himself very soon after he finished it. Painting was placed in storage with other belongings a while back when his home had been at risk of flood due to its location. He forgot all about it. But when he moved, he retrieved his belongings from the storage and hung the painting in a spare bedroom in the house. Then there's some strange things started to happen. They heard noises like something being dropped and the door slowly closing when there was no draft. His wife said, I'd always felt comfortable in the house, but not anymore. I kept seeing the shadow of somebody. I started to see glimpses of a dark shape and then the shadowy figure of a man. We started to feel like we're being watched. I woke up one night and saw a dark figure of a man at the foot of the bed. Well, they both say they've caught fleeting glimpses of a faceless man and heard the sounds of moaning and crying and whispers and loud banging as though was the unnerving sound of scraping. And they all sound like they come from inside the house. The dog won't go anywhere near the painting. And something pushed their son down the stairs. Sure, he felt like he'd been pushed. He tried to stop falling, but said the pressure behind him was too strong. Then he began to suffer deep feelings of anxiety and dread all the time they were in the house. Then a nightmare started. And the couple who said they didn't believe in ghosts put the portrait in the cellar, and he took to posting his experiences on the paranormal sites in the hope that somebody could help explain to him what was going on. Well, several have tried to research the painting's history. They posted on the internet and hope somebody recognized the artist, but it's been offered a suggestion because the painter used his own bodily fluids, it could be his spirit. Others have said it could be a demon. The owner of the painting said he'd been told to burn it or bury it, but he's also been told if he does, he might seal whatever's come through a doorway and make things worse. Interestingly, one of the first cases the British Society for Psychical Research investigated in 1882 was that of an artist studio in Kensington, London. The resident artist was said to be experiencing gruesome visions of a man who was missing limbs and had a pleading appeal in his eye. According to the Londonist, the society was handed a sketch of the artist that the artist had drawn of the thing he had seen. And they testified that the sketch he gave him was that of an artist who had killed himself some years ago in the Kensington area. Well, there have been a lot of stories about strange creatures. And I had somebody say to me one time, because of the type of books I've got three major series, and one of them is Spirits of the Border. And Spirits of the Border refers to that area between life and death, or the veil, if you will, between the living and the dead. And I had one person tell me once upon a time, you know, sometimes they come back. Now, a man from Liverpool realized when he was still young that not everybody else saw spirits like he did. There was a TV show called Ghost Whisperer, where a young lady saw the dead. Well, there are people who apparently have that ability. And he said as he became more insistent on showing themselves to him, he eventually found he really had no choice other than to become a psychic and help people who wish to hear from their departed loved ones. And in the years he's now been working, he's helped an enormous number of people, including many who have lost a loved one to violence. He wrote a book called The Man Who Sees Dead People. 2004, he got a call from a lady requesting a reading. And he always starts readings from scratch, no prior information from the client. And as the reading started, he said he immediately sensed the young man in a room with him, and the lady started to cry when he told her. He said, I'm getting some type of shooting connected with his death. I think he was probably shot. The spirit boy held up an article in a newspaper for him. The picture was on the front page. He said, I'm seeing your son was shot, and his name was Liam. The ambulance couldn't get to him for 15 minutes because the police blocked the road and wouldn't let it through, he said to the medium. Mother said it was actually 20 minutes. I had a dream of Liam. He was showing me the palm of his hand. Liam told him he was trying to tell his mother the names of those involved in the shooting. The name is Pearl. Sounds like palm, Liam said. He was used to spirits giving him confusing clues and understood why his mother couldn't connect her son's palm with a person named Pearl. And Pearl, he said, he chased him the week before his death. He threw a bicycle and he shot him dead for it. Well, the medium recorded the reading, and after it ended, he gave the tape to the mother and she took it to the police inspector. Police went on to name Parle as the man who had pulled the trigger, but he hadn't been caught and he was on the run. The others named in the reading were all sent to prison. He said another time when he was asleep one night, heard a phone ring. It was a different tone from his mobile or the house phone. He didn't know where it was coming from. And suddenly, a young woman with long dark hair appeared in front of him. She said, I'm the missing woman from Southport. Well, he recognized the woman from pictures on the news. She was a 21-year-old mother of two. She'd been missing for more than a year, and her husband had appeared on TV saying she'd run off with another man. When her spirit came to him and told him that her husband had murdered her. She said the police need to search the fairgrounds and the railway station. And he saw the word McDowell's and saw tractors and old vehicles in a yard in a vision. We had no idea what to do with that information, so we drove to Southport to investigate the facts she'd given him. As he drove around, he had flashes at a hospital and turned onto the road that led to it. Well, he was being led, and he followed the clues, and as he drove, he saw more images of her body, bloody and mutilated. He passed the hospital and heard a voice tell him to pull over. As he stopped on the side of the road, his car horn started to blast for no reason. He was on a residential street, so he was embarrassed that the car was making so much noise, and he got out and he banged on the hood and the horn stopped. He couldn't figure out what he was doing there, so he got back in the car, started and turned around to go back home, and as he drove off, he spotted a yard full of tractors, old vans, and cars, and the word McDowell's Furniture was on the side of the vans. Well, he didn't know, but at the time, this was the exact spot where she'd been murdered. But he didn't know what he was supposed to do with the information because there was no real body. Over the next few days, he had visions of railway tracks and a large clock. When he went to that location, he heard a voice yell, "I'm here, I'm here." Well, he said he went to the police with the information, and the police were not his greatest fans. They might even think he was the murderer because he knew too much about the death. After reporting it, he said he heard no more, but 5 months later, the husband confessed. He said he had murdered her. His brother had helped him chop up her body, and they buried her torso in the fairground and dumped her arms and legs in bushes at the railway station. Well, her head and hands were never found, but the husband did confess. Well, for nearly 50 years, stories had been passed around about the ghost of a young woman who was brutally attacked and left for dead in the 70s by five young men as she walked home one night near the Nora Head Cemetery in New South Wales, Australia. She was found and rushed to the hospital, but she never recovered from her injuries and died in the hospital. Though the police had their suspicions about who the five young men were, they weren't able to gather sufficient evidence to charge them with her murder. But a number of people have testified that the ghost of the girl came back to get her own revenge on the men. The first reported appearance of the girl came shortly after her burial. One of the young men suspected of being involved in her death was soon found hung. Killed himself after having told people he was being taunted and terrorized by the ghost of the young lady who was killed. That same year, his friend, and very likely had been involved in killing her, was fatally wounded in a car crash. Reported just before he died, he told her having seen somebody walk in front of the car, causing him to swerve and wreck. Other witnesses at the scene said there was no one there. Third member of the group drove his car off a cliff. He told people that an apparition was torturing him. Fourth suspect allegedly described a strange incident that happened to him. Said he stopped to pick up a girl hitchhiking along the road near the cemetery. At some point in the drive, his passenger vanished. She's no longer in the car with him. So he went to the police and reported it, and they laughed at him. And as the story spread, he faced ridicule. The incident slowly drove him crazy. And just like the other accomplices, he was later found dead. He also crashed his car. That left only one guilty party. He was also being driven slowly mad with fear at the thought that all his friends had met an untimely death since their attack on the girl. And he complained to his sister of feeling as though something was constantly hunting him. In an effort to flee from the torment of the dead girl's ghost, he ran away, but that didn't make any difference. The ghost followed him. Unable to cope with the fear any longer, he is said to have shot himself. Eerily, after each death of one of the young men, her grave was found to have been disturbed. Now, sightings of that young girl have continued. A doctor reported he stopped for a girl and gave her a lift, only to discover she disappeared inside his car. Two policemen said they picked up a girl, only discovered to their shock she was no longer in the car as they went on their journey. They were driving past the cemetery at the time they picked her up. According to one writer and an old man named Saladine, never forget the time he stopped to pick up a girl on the road. As he drove off, he started talking to her, but when she didn't respond, he glanced into the back seat where she had decided to sit, and there was no one there. Every witness has told the same story, despite not knowing each other. She always sits in the back and always disappears near the cemetery. Well, in 1999 in Hong Kong, a gang of three men kidnapped a 23-year-old prostitute. Her name was Fan Man Yi. One of the men, gang member Chan Man Lok, had been a client of hers. They would spend nights together indulging in the crystal meth. One of these nights, perhaps too high on drugs to think clearly, Fan made this fatal error of allegedly stealing money from his wallet. Chan made her pay the money back, and he added an exorbitant amount of interest because she couldn't pay him enough money. So he kidnapped her and took her to his apartment in in Hong Kong. There, with two other members of his gang, he set about getting high and tortured her for over a month. When a panic one day, when the police turned up at the apartment on an unrelated matter, the three finally killed her and set about dismembering her body in the most gruesome of ways. They stuffed her head inside a giant Hello Kitty doll. Well, the trio thought nobody would surely miss a prostitute, but they hadn't accounted for the effect their actions had on the 14-year-old girlfriend of one of the perpetrators who'd been present at some of the torture sessions. Seems she's being tortured herself by the most terrifying hauntings of being conducted by the dead prostitute. So much so, the ghost of the prostitute drove her to go to the police and tell them everything that had happened. Following up on the wild claims of the 14-year-old, the police were horrified to discover the remains of the dead girl's head inside the doll at the gangster's house. At the time, the three men were convicted and sent to prison, largely due to the testimony of the 14-year-old girl who'd been tortured herself by the ghost. It said in the months following her murder, the CCTV in the shops below the apartment caught fleeting images of a female figure in the night. And the apartment where it took place, no one will stay there. It's boarded up. We've got a caller. You're on the Ken Hudlin
Hello?
Show. Yes.
I got a ghost story.
Okay.
It's one my dad used to tell me. Before he passed.
Okay. You're on the air. Go ahead.
My dad used to live in this house in the middle of the woods, and he used to hear these sounds. And he didn't know where they were. And he lived there for a few years, and they kept getting worse and worse. So eventually, he got a gun. Like a handgun. And this was on the woods, but it was still in the neighborhood. It was like at a tree line. And eventually he went out and he started shooting at the noises. And I heard the noises. Excuse me.
Well, the caller dropped off, so the another story that came from the Orient. This was 2003 in Hong Kong. There's a group of preteen school children. You know, sometimes kids will hope to be scared, so they'll go places they really shouldn't go. And there was, as there are in many neighborhoods, an empty house that had been empty for years. And, of course, the rumors came about, the house was haunted. Now, in World War II, this house was turned into a comfort home for the occupying Japanese soldiers. They forced local women to go there, had their way with them before decapitating a lot of them and throwing their bodies outside. Families would often stumble across their headless bodies as they came in search for whatever had happened to them. Well, there are many stories about the spirits of these dead women said to linger at this location. Those who go in it say they have a sense of a terrible sadness, and sometimes they feel terror. Well, on the night the school children decided to camp in one of the empty rooms, they decided to attempt to contact the spirits with a Ouija board. Now, I know a number of folks who've had a lot of problems brought about by the use of Ouija boards, but it wasn't long before one of the girls in the group became disturbed, and frankly, she became, from the description, she was completely psychotic. She said all she could see were the most terrible images. Two of the other girls started to say they could hear a man's voice calling to them. Well, so confusing and upset were the girls by what was happening, they all started to run from the room. When she got to the front door, the psychotic girl, according to her friends, acted like she had the personality of somebody else. She refused to leave the property. So the other girls were so frightened, they called the police. And when the police arrived, they tried to get the girl to leave the house, but when they took hold of her, she went crazy and started attacking them and took several of them, of the officers, to bring her under control and get her out of the house. She was taken to a mental hospital and put under observation while two of the other girls needed to be treated for shock. So the story hit the local newspaper, and what the children had known was the house is used as a suicide site, and a large number of people have been discovered dead in the house, having killed themselves. For some reason, it's as though those who wish to end their lives are somehow drawn to the house to carry out these acts. That's similar to the woods in Japan that are known as the Suicide Woods. Now, there's another group of students, while their teachers are having a scheduled day of meetings, decided to meet up and go and investigate a nearby abandoned school that had the reputation of being haunted. This was in Pingshan, Japan. They wandered through the site, and one of the girls believed she spotted the ghost of a woman in the graveyard next to the school. Said the ghost was wearing a red dress and standing in front of a tombstone. Now, none of her friends saw the figure, although they at one point heard footsteps coming toward them. They said the footsteps suddenly stopped, and they never did see anybody. A little unnerved, although wondering if it was just their imagination, they decided to leave and walk back to the train station. As they stood on the platform waiting for the train, the girl who said she'd seen the ghost suddenly started screaming and trying to strangle herself with her own hands. Her friends grabbed her arms and tried to stop her, but she bit one of them, and they all became terrified. One friend threw water over her, hoping to stop her, but it didn't do anything. This was written up in the Asian Universe News. One of the other girls fainted, and in the end, several of them had to be taken to hospitals after they called the police for help. Now, the police could find no reason for the girl's unexpected and shocking behavior. The only suspicion they had was she had somehow become possessed by something or someone back at the site of the school. Well, when the girl eventually recovered, she said she'd seen a mass of dead folks all coming toward her at the train station. It seems that that school has a history that goes back to when the British occupied the area and the local people rebelled against them. It's believed those who were killed in the rebellion are buried in mass on the side of the school. There's also a rumor that a female teacher hung herself in the toilets after having been sexually attacked by one of the pupils at the school. But again, everyone has heard stories, but no one has proof, I guess is the best way to phrase it. Let's go to Mumbai for the next story. Mukesh Cotton Mill was closed over 40 years ago. Since then, the derelict buildings have been used as a location for movie filming. The empty corridors and high-ceiling rooms lend a gothic flavor that's perfect for filming atmospheric scenes. But for many years, local people have said there's something more to the atmosphere there. They say it's haunted, and few are willing to go there after dark. Well, Pasha Basu was a Bollywood actress who starred in the Raaz films, remakers of the Hollywood film What Lies Beneath. In Raaz 3, she plays a character who uses black magic to gain power. Says she's always had a belief in the forces of the good and evil, but never experienced anything paranormal. But that was about to change when she required to attend the mills to shoot for another film, Guna. After filming was finished, she spoke to WBRI radio to tell them of the peculiar things that had happened on the set. Says she was doing a scene and had to walk from one room to another while saying her lines, and she's usually very good with her lines and very rarely messes them up. She had a very strange feeling and couldn't say the words. They just would not come out. When she had rehearsed, she'd been fine, but now it seemed like there was some odd power that was present in the room that was stopping her from saying her lines. She told the crew, and later we came to learn some strange things about the mill. Apparently, there have been many incidents of violence that have occurred there, and there's been many stories of the place being haunted. What shook us the most, there was a true event that had occurred only 10 days before they arrived. There was another film being done there, and there was a young girl who had seemingly become possessed. She had shown acute symptoms of demonic possession, worse than those you see in horror films. She actually died a week after it happened. Kamya Punjabi, another Bollywood actress, also related her extraordinarily frightening experience at the same location. She was being interviewed on India Forum's entertainment site. She said, I had heard stories. Being religious, I knew God would be with me. Nothing would harm me. But when I started filming there, my belongings started to disappear. My purse and important paperwork vanished. I didn't believe it, though. But something happened that scared her. A young actress who's playing one of the mental patients in the film began to behave as though she was actually possessed. Her face literally changed. And suddenly her voice was a man's, and it was screaming. After it happened, a team quickly finished shooting, and although the actress still had a night scene in the film, she refused to stay there another minute. Well, then there's a story that comes from Wales. Now, there's a lot of interesting stories about strange things that happen in Wales. This is an abandoned village of Llanelyn. The story is about a family haunted by a demon. But in what must be one of the most unusual and bizarre aspects of the case, the demon was a living person. The story came to light from a series of letters written to a pastor named Richard Baxter, who published the account in a book in 1691 called The Certainty of the World of Spirits. Well, at first it seemed the home of a Colonel Bowen had become disturbed. Now, Bowen himself was away at the time, leaving his wife and servants alone. The soldier was in Ireland, living a debauched and carefully lifestyle, according to all accounts. Formerly serving with Oliver Cromwell during the Civil War, he now spent his days drinking and carousing, and he had become an atheist. Back at the house, the first signs of something unusual happened with the inexplicable sounds of bangs and crashes throughout the house with no identifiable cause. Well, with their nerves already frayed, what happened next was enough to thoroughly shock them. As the wife lay in bed one night, she was suddenly confronted by the sight of an apparition that looked very much like her husband. He demanded to get in bed with her. His wife, knew it wasn't her husband. It had an air of menace and threat, and she knew instinctively it was not of this world, even though it looked like him. She began to pray, hoping the apparition would quickly go away. And although the apparition did vanish, from then on, the household had no respite. Bangs and crashes escalated into thunderous sounds on the walls and floors, and the through the house could be heard moans and shrieks and screams and the weird noise of a high wind blowing through the house. Well, when the wife went to her bedroom one evening, on her bed was the most foul stench of a carcass long dead and the distinct outline of something lying on the bed. And she could smell sulfur in the bedroom. Well, she fled the room, but it seems the demon followed her. The servants were attacked physically by unseen hands. Ms. Bowen, It's many of these stories are hard to believe, but the evidence, especially from 1691, is very, very difficult to deny. During the next day, the bruised and battered servants witnessed shadows appearing on the walls. The noise of the wind came roaring back again, followed by screams and howls that were deafening. They heard words they couldn't understand. They heard the loud voice of their master calling out to him, though he wasn't there. Now, the household decamped the next day. They went elsewhere. And she went to her husband in Ireland. He was mocking of her story and refused to give it any credence, and then he sent her away. According to one of the soldier's servants, he was often witnessed rising from bed at night and talking to someone who wasn't there. Was he talking to demons? Certainly that seemed to be the possibility. And then Bryce James writes of a horrifying event in her life that occurred a few years before when she was 14 and living with a foster family. Began with a feeling there was something in her foster brother's room. She tried to tell her foster mother something was in the house, but she refused to listen. That night, she had a dream about a demon, and she had recurring nightmares of an entity chasing her down a dark street. She'd wake up in a cold sweat and sense something laughing at her in the dark. One night, she went to read the Bible, and as she was reading it, she suddenly went blind. Her eyes were open, but she couldn't see anything. She prayed for it to end, but it lasted for several minutes. And after that, it happened every day. One weekend, her foster parents were away, and it was just her and her brother there. She was absolutely frozen with fear when night came. She was so convinced it would get her in the night, she couldn't sleep for 3 days. Next night, she was awoken. She was being shaken violently. Red eyes were by her face. She believed the bed was being shaken violently by it until it went away. And one day she heard her stepbrother in his room. He was chanting something she didn't understand. He was saying incantations to summon a spirit. Apparently that is possible. Well, we'll be back tomorrow night. It's Thanksgiving. I'll be doing a pre-recorded show because I have another engagement. So until tomorrow night at 6, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show saying have a truly great evening.